Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you today, Carl?
Highly favored and blessed. So, doing well.
Very good.
Doing well. So how was your week? Share with me some of your experiences. What were some wins that you had this week?
So, wins that I had this last week, I went to... I went to a farmer's market last Wednesday and didn't get very much. Got one contact actually written down. And
okay.
So afterwards I went to see about, we got this older lady that we're trying to help get moved into a home. And so I went over there and looked at the place where she's going to be going and things. And then I sat there and thought a while and prayed and meditated and thinking, trying to figure out what I hadn't come up with any connection yet for the day where I needed to get somebody that was really interested in the water or whatever. And so the thought came to me that I should go to Costco and go inside. I should go inside the Costco, so not just get gas. I was going to go to Costco to get gas. I was planning on going there anyway. And so I thought about all the other places and things I might go or do. And that, and just, it was the most warmest of thought or whatever. And so I went there and was going out getting things and kind of forgot about that while I was supposed to be looking for some contact. And then I saw this lady on this cart, one motorized cart with the basket, and her husband had a nice beard, and he was, well, they looked like plain people or like very conservative, I guess you would say. She had a dress on, which is, you know, not very common anymore, and things there. And so I just struck up a conversation, asked them a little bit about what their beliefs were and what. And so they had been found out. They wanted to know if we were Mennonites or whatever. And I said, yeah. And so I said, well, they had been wanting to come to our church. They had met someone in Detroit, I think. Told them some people from Canada that had told them that we had a church here in the valley. And so then they wanted to know more what I was doing and everything. Well, they wanted to have an address. So I gave them my address, my card, and my card, of course, tells about the water. And so
right.
Then they wanted to know about that. So I told them about that, and well, they was very, very interested. And they said, so I said, well, where do you live? And they lived on Vail, which is a town on the east side of Tucson. So I said, well, it's on my way home. I can stop by. Oh, well, very good. So we finished up over there and went over to their house and did a water demo, showed them a video and did a demo and different things there. And I was, well, there a couple of hours or more, but anyway, going through all the different things. And then they said, well, they wanted to get the K8 machine because he was a truck driver and it'd make the, he could take water with him and last longer and be stronger that way. And so we get it lined up. We can do it on your computer or however. And, well, he says, we'll just come to your place tomorrow. Well, it's a 65-mile drive. But they said, no, we want to come over and we'll just make the order there. So we told him, well, you come for lunch. My wife will make you some lunch. And so... so they came, they got stuck, it was raining, muddy, they got stuck and had to be pulled out and stuff. It's interesting that they got here. And so we they spent all afternoon here. We ordered the machine and called in, and didn't have everything right, so I had to order it again and make another order. And and so anyway, that was one win.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, and
nice.
The other one was I had a fellow that come back from California that works at these They call them wolfing farms. They can go all around the world. I don't know if you've heard of them before, but they're called Worldwide Organization Opportunity for Working on Organic Farms. And they used to live here. He did, and his girlfriend, and then they worked on a farm here in our area, and now he's up in Northern California working on one. But he's back here visiting, and we're up just back at this farm again over here for a little while. And so he wanted to. He's one that runs, loves to run and hike, and I've done quite a bit with him. And he went with me to do that Triple Rim or the Grand Canyon with a couple of other ladies, so we had an awesome day. We went and hiked up to the National Monument and went all around, 21-mile hike that day. That was another win.
That's beautiful. Wow. That's definitely a win for the spirit and for the body and for the mind, for the health. That's good.
Wow. That was awesome.
That is awesome. It sounds awesome. Wow. That is beautiful. Wow, so you had a really good week. You're listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's guiding you. And you're obeying and you're listening and you're making these connections. I mean, and it's happening. It's been easy. And it's been happening. It's so quickly, too. This is amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was.
How does that feel? How does that feel?
Fantastic. Good, awesome. Whatever. I don't know. It feels really good.
And not only that, but you connected with a brother and sister in the Lord, and fellow Mennonites, and they're going to come to your church. Have they come to the church yet?
No, they haven't. They said they want to. I guess it's been the distance before. Plus, they had their mother living with them, and it was. That was posing a problem too. They can only leave her for a few hours. Well, now she's in a rest home, but they want to get her back. But anyway, this lady had he had her his wife. This Emmanuel is his name, and his Kathleen, his wife. She homeschooled the children and all, but then he was driving truck and these car haulers. And going cross country and all, and he decided that she should go with him and be a help drive truck. Well, she ended up going and finally learning. It was kind of tough for her, but she did it as unto the Lord and done a good job. But she one day he was lifting up the ramp for the cars to drive on, and she was standing there directing and not standing in quite the right place, and the thing came off of the. That ramp thing came off of its holder or whatever and fell, hit her on the head, and then ended up landing across her leg and her other ankle and smashed her, and it took 10 men to pick it up enough for him to pull her out from under there. And so that's why she was in that cart. She had lots of surgeries and everything, but she can walk, but it's not very far, so.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, that was.
So the water should help with her as well.
Yeah, and the big thing there, their mother is getting Alzheimer's, and so when they told her the story of what Dr. Corey and Allen has been doing with Alzheimer's and all, complete turnaround with 11.5, she has them drinking the straight 11.5 water, and then she also has them on ASEA, the redox signaling stuff. She came, Dr. Corey Allen. I don't know if you heard of her?
Oh, absolutely. No, I haven't even spoken to her. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. Well, she came down and gave us a seminar here in Tucson, and then she spent about half the day or a little over on the water, and then about part of the day on the SEA. And But she's had complete turnaround with Alzheimer's, and so these folks here are really, really interested in that one. That was one thing. Plus, he has an enlarged prostate, and he's got 7-8 doctors, and nothing they can get. Well, what they want to do is give medication that, well, the one medication takes 2 or 3 months to shrink it, but it's going to kill some brain cells while it's doing it. So, and so he is fixing to go to China for some treatment. And so he says, man, if this water would help or do something, it'd save him a lot. So that's one of the things he wants to, why he wanted to get the machine. I couldn't promise him anything, but says, you never know. It seems like it's helped a lot of others with things. Yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of layers there.
Yeah.
That's good. So, beautiful. Helping people, you're following your purpose. That's beautiful. Good for you. So last week, or last session, we discussed the importance of surrounding yourself with people who can support you and moving toward creating your dream. So, putting that support system around. And we talked about the mastermind, creating that group. We talked about the three benefits of the mastermind. Tap into infinite intelligence through the power of the mastermind. So tap into the collective experience of your mastermind partners and to tap into partners and believing who believe in you when you have a hard time believing in yourself. So share with me some of your experience with that, that part of it, finding a partner and believing. We talked about also is maybe having partners and believing for different areas as opposed to just a partner believing for all areas of life, maybe specific areas of life. So how did that go this week?
Well, I guess I'd have to say not very good. I really didn't gain a whole lot. I gained a little. I did write down some of the things there, like our lesson had now was to list all those different attributes that you wanted to see and listed those, and then it went through and they were supposed to check, the ones that fit that the best. And so I finally did come up with a few here that, and I wrote down some things that for them, but I never got them. No, I never got them called. I did talk to them some, but not about that. I talked to them on our pod call thing and also on the one, the business builder Farshad there, with some of the things we want to accomplish there. But I do have some things written down that I want to talk to them about and tell them I appreciate about them and for what I see in them. And then there was one that I didn't know I come up with, but I just figured I didn't see how he would have time, so I didn't time to do that, so I didn't contact him, and that was Carl. So
who's that guy?
Yeah, it's that guy. I didn't know if he would have time to be a partner in believing with me, but.
I think I already am.
Yeah, you are, yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I needed to know, I guess.
No. This is what this is all about. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. And so, you're doing the work, you're and the work shows, so you made a list of the characteristics, of what you're looking for in a partner and believing. You checked the list, you thought of some people. So now it's just a matter of reaching out to them, speaking with them, and creating that circle. And I think, you know, just intuitively, I think you already have people around you that you may, it may not be like formalized partners in believing in a formal sense, but in a sense that, you know, I mean, you have your, you know, you have your community, you've got your church, you've got, you know, people around you that you share certain values, you share certain ideas and certain beliefs. And I know just by your nature, that's who you are. You're a kind, gentle, loving, supporting soul. And I, you know, I haven't met your wife or really spoke to her, but I have a feeling she's the same, you know. And so that, you know, I don't want you to stress about it. And it doesn't have to happen, you know, in 1 week because it was the exercise. But it's just holding that space and then allowing, just like you've been allowing, it's just allow the Holy Spirit to bring those people to you. So you are a person of increase. You are a person of love and giving and support. And you project that. That's who you are. You resonate there. And so that support will... that more formal, quote-unquote, formal support will show up. I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt about that. And I'm here. I'm here, too. So that's good. So this week, we're going to talk more about training the mind. You know, we're going to continue to move forward into acceleration towards our dream. It's very important at this point in the process to continue to train our mind so that we don't get tripped up by the circumstances that may come our way. So again, we live in a world of fact and circumstance. So we may, you know, our checkbook may be telling us a certain thing, our health may be telling us a certain thing. But we see beyond that. We see the truth beyond that. And so we want to learn to think more and more from the mind of the person who's living that life, the life that we've designed, the life in that vision. So living, you know, what we're trying to do is be that person more and more. And I think you're already doing that. You're being, and life is already reflected that back to you, is being that person who's living that life in all aspects of it. So today we'll consider three disciplines of the mind. Number one is the power of decision. Number two is the power of the question. And number three is the power of the alignment. And so let's start with the power of decision. And Raymond Charles Barker, he wrote a book called The Power of Decision. And Caroline and I are almost finished with it. We've been reading it aloud. I think we're on the last chapter. There is only one success process. It's know what you want, decide it shall happen, and act upon the decision. So our self-conscious mind, our conscious mind that we are aware of, is a director, if you will. And once we make a decision of something, whether we make a decision for our business or for our health or for relationships or time and money freedom, whatever that decision is, once we make a decision, that sends a signal to our subconscious. And don't forget, everything in our life, that all the results, everything on our life, is really the result of our subconscious mind. It's what's created there. But our conscious mind is the director, because we have self-conscious ability to create our thoughts and to form our thoughts. So once we make a decision for something, a firm decision, that signals to the subconscious mind that this is something we believe in, this is something that is truth, because don't forget, our subconscious mind doesn't differentiate between truth and lie. It just accepts everything as truth. So if our conscious mind has been having thoughts that are just not true, then our subconscious mind just believes that as truth, and it acts accordingly. And so the subconscious mind is our life in action. And so by making a strong decision, say, all right, I am a successful business person. I have a successful and agile business. I do find people easily and I talk to them. So making that decision, that the subconscious makes, sends that signal, the subconscious mind starts to move. So, you know what you want, decide it shall happen, and act upon the decision. And only the dreamer who acted with decision on his dream brought forth something new and valuable. So it's having that, that belief. That making a decision, again, having that strong decision makes the energies work in that direction. And you know, decisiveness is the hallmark of all successful people. You know, they make a decision and they move. And even if you look at, I don't know if you read Mr. Oshiro's book.
Yeah,
he actually talks about that, where he said, you know, especially in business, because he's talking about business, but I think it applies to his life. Once he makes a decision, he just moves on the decision. And if it turns out that the decision wasn't the best or there were some flaws in the thinking, he'll correct course along the way. But from what I understand, the way, you know, who he is and from that book, he just makes a decision and he goes. And he says, you know, he's been decisive. And any successful person has made decisions. Even when Napoleon Hill was commissioned by Andrew Carnegie to study the most successful people and what traits do they have and what is their pattern of success and what are the success principles and the thought patterns. One of the biggest ones they have is their ability to be decisive, to make a decision. And it's interesting because the root of the word decide means to cut away from. So like in the lesson this week, Mary, you know, shared the story about the man who carved the bust of Lincoln, and he just cut away anything that was not Lincoln. You know, it's like Michelangelo too. It's like when you know, he was carving the statue of David out of marble. Well, how do you know where David is in there? We just see a block of marble. But he said, I just cut away what was not David. Just like the sculpture, just cut away what was not Lincoln. So when we make decisions for our life, it's the same thing. We just cut away what's not us. It's not part of us. It's like, well, you know, failure and hardship and lack, well, that's not part of us. We make a decision for abundance and health and success and love. So we cut away. We decide to cut away that. And so too, on, you know, part of what will accelerate you toward your dream is your willingness to cut away anything that is unlike that which you are creating for yourself. So that's why if we come from the mind of the person who's living that life already, then we can see, we can feel it, we can experience that, you know, we don't have these parts of us that are hanging on, that are not part of us. So we decide, we make a decision to cut those away. So it's like we're the sculptor, you know, we're the sculptor and the sculpture, because we create our own reality, we create our world. And so we are the artist that you know, we're co-creating, right, with God. So we chip away what's not us. Now, we have to be willing to cut away things that are unlike that which we're creating for ourselves. So this could be people. It could be activities. It could be words. It could be media input, you know, listening to, and I know you don't listen to a lot of the TV and radio and all that stuff, but, you know, we start, you know, it's like kids today, they're playing these video games, and a lot of it is it's war, it's violent, it's, you know, so what is that energy that's pouring into them? We're listening to, you know, constantly negative news, CNN, like people, you know, tune to TV and radio or reading it, it's like just all this negative stuff is pouring into them. Well, we could decide we don't need that. We don't. That's not part of who we are. We don't need that negativity. We know that we serve a God that is bigger than anything that we can face. We know we serve a God that is abundant and full of life. It has given us life. We are the manifestation of God's mind. And so we decide that we don't want that negativity. That's not our truth. So if we do see signs of sickness, let's say, or symptoms of disease, Well, we know that's a lie, because God didn't create the sickness. God created abundance and health. That's the truth. So, you know, see those things that are not as though they are. That means we see the truth. The truth will set you free. We see the truth beyond that, which is not true. If we see lack or poverty or, you know, we're missing something, well, we know that there's abundance there. That's the lie in front of it. We see beyond that. We see the truth of the abundance beyond it. And we keep holding that. And that person that's living the dream, that vision that you wrote out, that person is connected to that abundance and that love and that health and that time and money freedom. And so we just keep returning to that. And we decide we don't want lack. We don't want sickness. We don't want any of that other stuff. And so we decide. We make a decision. This is who I am. This is who, you know. This is what the life that I love to live, in all aspects of it. You know. So the you know, seeing the truth. Hang on a second. I think my notes get mixed up here. I think I'm missing a page on my notes. Oh, here it is. Got mixed up. Sorry about that. I'm out of order. So when you cut away something, it's important to fill that void with what you do want. What do you want to fill your mind and time and attention with, right? So it's the same thing, like when we say, you know, it's like the story in the Bible, right, where the principalities of darkness are inhabiting a house, right? And so you decide to clean that house. You sweep it clean, and you get rid of these demons. And so, but what happens if you just clean them out and you don't fill it back with God's love? They come right back again, right? Because you created a void. By getting rid of that, you created a void. That void has to be filled with something. And so by not filling it, you're just inviting them to come back at another time. And so the same thing. We decide to cut away, and we fill that with what we do want. So it's the same thing. We fill it with God's abundance and God's love and God's, you know, joy and peace. So we cut away that negative stuff. We cut away what doesn't belong to us, that doesn't serve us, that doesn't serve our highest good. We cut that away and we fill it with the truth. We fill it with abundance and God's love. So that's the power of decision. We decide. We make that decision. So number two is the power of the question. The power of the question. And we talked about this before. It's like when we talked about intuition and interacting with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's been said that the quality of our life is determined by the quality of the questions we ask. We want to learn to ask questions that reflect the highest possibility for our lives. So it's just like if we do a Google search, we go on our computer into a browser and we do a search on our computer. You know, it's the same way. The universe responds. God responds to provide an answer to whatever the question we give it. So using like a browser search is a great analogy, because, you know, what Google has done is they've just collected information. They've indexed information that's all over the Internet. And so if we ask a question to Google, we ask a search term or a phrase, you know, within seconds we get, you know, millions of answers. And then we have to go through and we sort through the answers that we want. Now, if we ask a poorly asked question, you know, and Mary talks about that, where, you know, she was visiting her sister in Oregon, and they went back to spread her mother's ashes after her mother had died. And so she was visiting with her sister, and they wanted to spend some time together, and they wanted to go to the movies. And her sister lives, you know, near the coast, and they wanted to go. The nearest town that had a movie theater she knew of was called Seaside. And so she goes to her browser, and she says, movies in Seaside. And it wasn't such a very specific quality question. And then she realized that what all the answers that she got back is that there's literally thousands of seasides all over the world. You know, I know here in New Jersey there's a seaside, and you know, there's probably a seaside in on probably any state that has coast, or any country for that matter. So she had answers from seaside in Australia and seaside in all over the world. So she realized that she had to ask a more specific question. So seaside Oregon, you know, seaside. So it's the quality of that question, the specificity of that question determines the quality of the answers that we get. And so it's like if we say, oh, you know, I want, you know, as a farmer, I want to grow apples. Well, we just grab the seeds and we plant the seeds, and now we got apples, but it's like, oh, these are green apples. I wanted red apples. Well, you didn't say you wanted red apples. You just said you wanted apples. You weren't being specific enough. You know, I mean, people say, I want more abundance in my life. Well, what does that mean, more abundance? I want more love in my life. Well, what does that mean to you? More, what is the what would give you that clue that you had more love in your life? You know, what would that be? So I want to grow my magic business. I want to be more successful. Well, that's pretty general. What does that mean to you specifically? How do you measure success? Is it the number of new sales per month? Is it a dollar figure, a commission income? Is success the number of people that you touch every month? You know, whether they buy or not. You know, what does success mean specifically to you? How would you know if you had that success? And so it's the same thing that's reflected on our dream and our vision. You know, if we say, oh, I want more abundant health, well, what does that mean specifically? Well, that means I can do, you know, I can hike all day. I could do 3 hours. You know, I could do, you know, a whole weekend without feeling, you know, feeling normal fatigue because I put in effort and I put in, you know, time, but I'm able to do that. My joints move freely. You know, my mind is clear and sharp. So those are more specific, you know, more specific ideas and concepts of what overall good health means. And so, you know, we could ask, how am I ever going to pay my bills this month? Or we could ask, how can I bring in more money this month than any month all year? You know, each will produce very different answers. So how you ask that question will produce different answers. So I know Mary talks about, and I've heard her say this many times to us, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, somebody might say, you know, I want to go on a two-week vacation to the south of France. But knowing that if they took time off from their business, that the business is not operating, they're not making any money, and they don't have that income. So it's like, oh, well, how can I, you know, maintain my income and still enjoy going on vacation? So why can't we say, how can I enjoy 2 weeks in the south of France and make $10,000 doing it? That's a whole different question. You know? So you can have everything depending, you know, so you can, it just depends on how you ask the question. And we know the truth. We know that there is not a question that you can ask for which there is no answer. We understand that. We know that. Because the God that created us knows all things. Knows all things. We understand this. This keeps us out of anxiety and worry. You know? I mean, the Lord told us that. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Because he has all the answers. He has all the answers. And so we just, you know, so we make, it's the power of the decision and it's the power of the question. You know, we learn to formulate a powerful question, a specific question. That's the second discipline of the mind. So the power of decision is the first. The power of the question is the second. And that'll help us accelerate us toward our dreams. So it's a mind exercise. It's mind defining, you know, exercising our mind. And then the third discipline is the power of alignment. And when I first heard this, as a Christian, it really stirred my spirit very, very powerfully. And I'm, you know, it'd be interesting to see how you respond to it as well. So staying in alignment with our purpose and vision is the key to the manifestation of our dream. So that's holding those images, holding the vision, being in state. Now, sometimes our circumstances can threaten to throw us off balance. We've seen that, you know. So there's a five-step thinking process that will help you stay aligned with your vision when you're facing challenging circumstances. And this really, like I said, this really resonated strongly with me. The first of the five steps is God is. This is realization. God is. There's one presence, one power, one life. There's one supreme being. You bring that to mind. You lift your awareness to this realization. And I know you do that. I know you do that. That's part of your daily practice. So God is. That's the realization. The second is I am. And this is recognition. I am part of the one presence and the one power. I recognize that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm connected to this infinite mind that has answers to everything I'm facing. There's an infinite presence, and I'm part of it. I begin to have an experience of realization and recognition. I mean, it's so powerful. And sometimes I think, and I see that. I see that for myself, and I see that for other Christians especially too, is I think we lose that connection. We say, okay, you know, we'll go and, you know, we'll pray. We'll go to church on Sundays, and we'll pray. And I realize that God, you know, God exists, God is, and I believe in God. But then we lose that connection. But you have to realize that you're part, we are part of that one presence and that one power, especially when we accept Jesus in our heart. And so the first step is realization, God is. The second step is recognition that I am part of the one presence and that one power. So it's recognizing our part of that. And I think a lot of people, I think, you know, like this Sunday, our pastor said something. He said that statistically, across the United States, that most Christians spend 1.7 to 1.8 Sundays per month in church. So that's less than half, if you think about it. If there's four Sundays a month, he said, that's not enough. Even if you went to both services on Sunday and to service on Wednesdays, that still wouldn't be enough. It's like we can't bookend our week, you know, just going on Sunday. It's like worship every day. It's like being in alignment, being recognition every day. It's being in that presence every day. And that really struck me as well when he said that. And I was surprised. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised by the statistic. But I was surprised at, I guess, how low it was. So the realization God is, the recognition that I am part of that. And number three, the step three, is truth is. The truth is. This is discernment. This is our anointing of discernment. The truth is that there is a power in the universe that is bigger than anything I'm facing right now. The truth is that the power that is within me is greater than anything outside of me. The truth is that there is an answer to every question and a solution to every problem. So that's the discernment. The truth will set you free. To discern the truth despite the facts and circumstances, the stuff that we see on the surface. We know the truth behind that. That's the discernment. So that's the third step. The fourth is I release. So this is the step of release. So let go of the struggle and angst. This is what it looks like while it's getting solved. So we may have disruptions in our life. We may have circumstances and conditions that come up. But this is what it looks like as things are getting solved. So let go of all the thoughts of what might go wrong or what has gone wrong in the past. We let them go because we don't want to give more energy to that. So again, where our attention goes, that's where our energy flows. So if we start to, you know, it's like, oh, the bills and the stress and this. Well, guess what? That's where you're putting your attention. That's where the energy starts to flow.
So just a question there. How do we let go of these these thoughts and things? What's the formula?
So the release of how do we let that go is we focus on the positives. We focus on the outcome. We focus on the vision and the dream. So let's say, oh, I'm not feeling so well today. I have a stomach ache, I have a headache, I have a cold. Well, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on health and abundance. God is perfect health. We have perfect health in us. We just have this disruption right now, and we're going to focus on that. We're going to release that. Right? I don't know the chapter and verse, but you know, do not be anxious for anything. That's what God tells us. Do not be anxious for anything. So even in the face of looking at fact that says, oh, you know, I'm not feeling well today. I'm you know, look beyond that. Do not fear. Do not be anxious. So that's the release part. And I'm not perfect in it. Do I feel worry and fear every day? Yeah, I do. I'm not perfect at it. I mean, if we could walk around in love and in alignment with God and feel love and joy and abundance every second of the day, we'd have perfect lives. And that's the ultimate goal, right, is to be in His presence all the time. Well, let me rephrase that. To feel His presence all the time, because we already are in His presence all the time. It's our connection to it. It's to feel that. I read something the other day, and it really struck me. It said we're always seeking. You know, we're always. Hold on, I'm trying to get the right words. We're always trying to create abundance, right, in our lives. We're always trying to create abundance in our lives. Well, abundance is already here. It already exists. What we've been creating is resistance, and we've been creating disconnect. We've been creating blockages to that, right? Because God is here already. The abundance and love and health is already here. We are walking in it. We just have to release that negative part of it. We have to, and so I think that's our ultimate goal, if you really think about it. And that's what I've been really working on. It's really focused on that. It's focused on that truth. So releasing the lies and the deceit that the enemy comes, releasing that, what he's trying to steal, is not give that the energy, not give that our attention. We give the attention to God and His love and His abundance and His joy, His perfect peace. And so I remember, you know, just this past week, one of our pastors was talking about that perfect peace. You know, Jesus came, Jesus is perfect peace. And I really reflected on that. I said, you know, I don't often feel perfect peace at that level. And that's what I strive for. And Jesus says, what's in me is in you, and you can have everything that I do. You already have it. We already have it. The kingdom is inside us. And so I think these lessons are showing us that how we just, that's that this mental exercise, this mental discipline to learn how to connect to that deeper and to release the noise that's around us. You know, I think that's, you know, letting go of the thoughts so it might go wrong. Because we're powerful manifestors. You know, God created us in His image. God is the ultimate creator. Well, we create all the time. We don't decide whether we create or not. We create all the time. We don't have a choice whether we create or not. And then when we were kids, we used our imagination. You know, kids, we think of kids as, you know, they're using their imagination. They're making up worlds and they're making up stuff and they're always using their imagination. Well, that's part of us. It's still part of us. We think in images. The root of the word imagination is image. We think in images. But by the time we enter school, that sort of is not, you know, necessarily beaten out of us, but it's sort of encouraged out of us. Not to use our imagination. Let's look at the world of fact and circumstance. But that faculty of imagination is still there. God gave it. That's one of God's gifts for us. And then we start to use it, you know, in a casual way, where we start to use our imagination and worry. Well, what's going to happen? What if I can't pay my bills? Well, you know, I got this stress. We're using our imagination in that direction. And probably 97% of the people on Earth don't realize it. And so by learning this and our awareness is raised and say, okay, I'm not going to use my imagination, that mental faculty, that gift that God gave me, I'm not going to use it in a casual, negative way. I'm going to use it to stay in alignment and to stay focused on the abundance and the love and the joy and that perfect peace that God gave us, that Jesus came and he told us. He said, that's where the kingdom is. So let's use our imagination in the right way. So release all that worry. Release what might go wrong, what's gone wrong in the past. You know, if it were all working out, how would I feel? So that's, again, stepping into our vision. Everything worked out. I'm living the life I love to live. How does that feel? That's the feeling of success. That's the feeling of abundance. That's the feeling of love. And so we need to put ourselves in that vibration, because the things around us will manifest. It'll be created around us because of that vibration. Once we're a vibrational match to the thing that we want, by spiritual law, it is ours. But we have to be at that vibrational match. So that's the release. It's big. I told you, when I heard this, it really rocked me. And then the fifth step is gratitude. I am grateful. So letting go and feeling grateful are two sides of the same coin, if you really think about it. So step four, releasing, and step five, gratitude, are really two sides of the same coin. I let go of the conditions and I say, I may not know the right answer now, but I do know the answer exists. And for that, I am grateful. I am grateful. And to being in that, because the vibration of gratitude is the vibration of love. It is the vibration of abundance. It is the vibration of God. Is that gratitude. And so we're learning to keep ourselves in alignment with our dream, regardless of our circumstances. You know, that's the third discipline that will help us accelerate toward our dream. So those are the three powers, mental training that this whole lesson is, we're talking about, is the power of decision, the power of the question, and the power of alignment. And so we want to practice that every single day. It's like a muscle. You know, if we practice, you know, we go to the gym or we go hiking, we go running, we go work out, we're training our bodies. But we also need to train our minds and train our spirit, you know, and align ourselves in that way. So how did this land for you? How did this resonate with you?
Oh, it's good, very good. I'm just learning or needing to learn more on how to do that, how to release and let go of those negative things. And I guess that's helping me think of just focus on the other, on the more on the positive and on the not being fearful or worried or anxious or whatever, and instead focus on the other and allow that to let the other go.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking up that passage. So it's actually it's Paul. Apostle Paul writes it in his letter. It's Philippians 4:6-7. You know, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about here. And you know, we hear the words, you know, we read the words, but it sounds like a simple thing, right? Don't be anxious about anything. Okay, well, I'm not going to worry about anything. That sounds simple, right? But it's not always an easy thing to do. But what if it were easy? What if we can put our full trust in God? And I think that's part of this training too, and I'm certainly learning this myself, is to fully trust, in God, to fully trust in the truth behind the facts and circumstances that we look at. And I think that's what Paul is talking about here. You know, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, that's the gratitude, present your request to God. It's just focus on the good. Focus on that outcome that you want. Focus on your dream and vision. And I think it's just, we just do it by habit. As we snap in, it's, you know, it's no fault of anybody. It's the way we grew up, you know. It's the fears and the everything of our parents and the people around us and our teachers. It's just that's the way, you know, most people interact with the world. But that's not what the Bible's telling us. It's not what these lessons are telling us. And so we have to change our thinking. And it takes, just like when a paradigm comes up, when our operating system comes up, a fear comes up, is we just pause, we hit the pause button, we take a breath in the moment, because we can only breathe in the present moment, we can't breathe in the future, and we can't breathe in the past, we can only breathe now. So we ground ourselves in the now, and then we go to work on recoding that. So if the fear, you know, whatever fear comes up, we say, you know what, that's an operating, so that's a paradigm, and I'm going to recode it right now. Right here, right now. And I'm going to recode it, and I'm going to see the truth behind it, and I'm going to focus on don't be anxious about anything. And with thanksgiving and praise, I'm going to focus on the truth. I'm going to focus on the truth. I'm going to stay in that vibration. I'm not going to feed the fear. I'm not going to feed the sense of lack or whatever. I'm going to stay in alignment. That's the power of alignment. So that's why I said when that first came across to me as a lesson, I was like, it blew my mind. It really did. And it's something that, you know, and I'm not perfect at it. Like I said, there's some days that I don't want to get out of bed. There's some days I want to put the covers over my head. Well, I'm going to create that day with the covers over my head, but it's not going to change. It's not going to change stuff. You know, I'm still breathing. I'm still creating. So the life work this week is, you know, we're going to talk about the power of decision. So we're going to write a list of 1 to 3 things that you decide to cut away from your life in order to allow your dream to emerge. So what are those things? It could be people, places, things. It could be thoughts. It could be ideas. It could be habits. So 1 to 3 things. It could be more. You can start writing a whole list of things, you know, that you decide to cut away from your life and say, you know what, I don't need this way of thinking anymore. I don't need this way of being anymore. I don't need, you know, this person in my life or this place in my life or these things in my life. I don't need it because it's really taking away from who I am. Make a list of it. Decide. What am I going to cut away of? Cut away from, you know, from my life. And then continue to listen to meditation number 3. I just got some discs in. I didn't have any discs, and I apologize for the delay on that. So I didn't have any CDs to burn, so I had to get some. So I'll send you that on CD, but you still have the audio files. So listen to that. You know, be still, quiet every day. Listen to meditation 3. And then we're on lesson 15. So it's for you, it's CD 15. So we're going into week 11 already, CD 15, and continue, you know, do the exercises in the workbook, which I know you've been doing and leaning into. So how are you feeling?
Good. I was just thinking here that you said something there about our imagination. We start out, children with start out with imagination, some more than others, I suppose, but that thought of we go to school and they teach us to quit that, to quit imagining that. Well, you're just sitting there daydreaming. You can't do that. You got to quit that.
You exactly.
Got to be.
Got to study these facts.
Yeah,
figures.
You got to study. Get
right.
Your mind onto things again. Oh, there he is, daydreaming again. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was trying to think. Well, how much of that really is what we should really be doing, or bring back? I was trying to put it into this here. Alignment thing, how much of that aligns with abundance of living or whatever, that we need to just let our minds imagine what we really would love to have or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, what other thoughts do you have on that, and how much or how do we do this to make that alive, really, that imagination that it would be in the right kind, the right type?
Exactly. So if you think about, like, when we started out, and we were in phase one, which is blueprinting, and you wrote out your vision. You wrote out what you would really love. That's using our imagination. Now, you know, I'm sort of torn because some people say, like, daydreaming is just, it's like, you know, like when we were kids, like, oh, these daydreams, like you said, the daydreaming, and it's just like, you know, it's like having dreams in the air. It's just like, it's wishful thinking and that sort of thing. But some of those, though, to me, some of those dreams could be from our ego, right, from our finite self, our human self. It's like, oh, I'd like these pleasures in my life and that sort of thing. But what's wrong with having that? If you see yourself as healthy and abundant and you want to, go on this trip and your mind is wandering there, well, is that something that you would love? And so you write that down. And then you remember in the beginning, then we in lesson two, we put it to the test with those five questions. You know? And see if... And see if that dream passes. It has to be a resounding yes to all five of those questions. And if not, then you can go back and tweak it and calibrate it. So I think with the dream building program and this work that we're doing together here, this puts a system of support underneath that daydreaming, underneath the dreaming process, underneath using our imagination to see what we want, to imagine what we would really love. And if you really think about all the great innovators that you can think of that have created things and businesses and projects and ideas and concepts and products, they were visionaries. I mean, the ultimate entrepreneur is really his role, his or her role, is as a visionary. And a lot of them, you know, they think outside the box. I had one guy that I was working with on websites one time, he said, you know, I said, oh, so you're talking about like thinking outside the box. He said, I'm going beyond that. I'm thinking that there is no box. Just think beyond that. And so 100 years ago, if we were back 100 years ago and you talked to somebody and said, listen, we're going to be able to hold a device in our hands that's almost, you know, about the size of a deck of cards, and you'll be able to call your relative 2,000 miles away and instantly be able to communicate with them, they would have thought we were crazy. And yet today we do it every single day. We text and communicate and call and video chat with people thousands of miles away from us. But it's not crazy. It's just somebody had that vision in their mind, that daydream, that vision, that dream, and they went and they put energy toward it and made it real. You know? It's like the Wright brothers. You know, the law of aerodynamics always existed. But they put their minds to it, their dreams and their visions and their imagination to it, and said, no, we should be able to work with the laws, natural laws, the invisible laws that are there, and man should be able to have controlled flight. And despite the fact that their father was a bishop who was of the mind that he said that if God wanted man to fly, he would have given us wings. And yet his sons saw things differently. They saw the world. They used their imagination differently, and they stuck to it. And he really created, I mean, look what we have today based on that. Same thing with Thomas Edison. You know, he went, you know, what he called the land of solution. He would go and he would see things in his mind. And if he saw it in his mind, he knows. He saw it and used his imagination. He knows that he can make it manifest. And he's known as one of the world's greatest inventors. He probably has more patents than anybody else because he used his imagination. And so that's what we're doing here. So we're using our imagination, and then we put it to the test. We make sure that it's of God, from God. Can it benefit others? Does it require, you know, help from a higher power? Is there good in it for others? Does it give me more life? So we have to start looking at life differently, and that's what the Bible teaches us. That's what this course is teaching us. Is to look at life not the way we grew up, not the way our teachers taught us to look at just facts and figures and circumstances, but to see the truth beyond and to hold that truth. That's the higher power.
So the lesson here had this your problem and solution thing, and as my mastermind partner now, I guess you need to, my problem is we need an $8,000 income per month besides our Social Security. And the solutions that I need to find, yeah, what are they? Find ways to find people who will buy my product or learn how to schedule time to do follow-ups or something, I don't know.
Well, that's one way.
Me, but.
Right, that's one way. But if you just hold, here's the thing. We know God is unlimited in possibility. Unlimited solution. So you're looking at one possibility is to increase to grow your business. You grow your Enagic business, and you grow to a certain level, and you have that income of $8,000 plus a month. That's one way out of countless ways to do it. So if you just focus on, you have that abundance. That abundance is with you right now. You may not have it manifest in the world of fact and circumstance. It may not be manifest, but that already exists. But just by focusing on that, it's like driving from Arizona to New Jersey. Let's say if you were going to drive, get in your truck, and you were going to drive here and visit me. Well, you can get in your truck, and let's say you're driving at night, right? Well, there's thousands of routes that you could take from Arizona to New Jersey. Thousands of roads that you can take, right? And you could even get on your GPS or pull out a map, and you can map it out. That's one possibility on how to get here. But if you're driving at night and your headlights only reflect 100 feet in front of you, do you see the whole route mapped out in front of you? No. You see 100 feet at a time. And what do? You go to the edge of the light that you see. And then the next step is illuminated. And you go to the edge of the light you see. And the next step is illuminated. You know, the Lord is like lamps upon our feet. The same thing. As every step we take, the next step is illuminated. And so we may not know how. Does it require help from higher power? Absolutely. Because you don't know how to create right now. You're not creating $8,000 a month in steady income. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that you can't have it manifest in your life. Just focus on that outcome. Focus on you are that person that is earning $8,000 or $10,000 or $12,000 and you're living that life? Is it just by your Enagic business? Yeah, it could be, but it doesn't have to be 100% there. So the same way that you're using your intuition, you're asking the Holy Spirit, what should I do today? And the Holy Spirit says, go to Costco. You go to Costco to get gas. And they said, no, no, go inside. Go inside. So the same way that you're listening in that way, and you're being guided, and you're being successful with it, the same way. Lord, this is what we need. This is the level. This is what I'm holding. 8, 10, 12,000 a month. Because this is the lifestyle. This is the level that we are. This is what we would love to do in all of its glory. And you hold that, and you hold that. And you are that person that is living that life with that level of abundance flowing through you and with you.
So how do I think every day then? One thought there was that, well, what step do I take today in reaching this?
So it's the base practice of getting into state, you know, is that state of, and I know you do that every day anyway, with your prayer work, getting into gratitude, getting into the Word, getting into the vibration of the Lord. And from that state, you bring in your vision. This is my vision. This is what I would love. This is the life I would love to live. And you become that person. You put it on. You visualize it. You see yourself doing the things. So I remember, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember your vision. And some of them were very specific, the Rose Garden. Very specific things. And what you could do is, and I think we talked about it, is creating scaffolding images, snapshots. So if you had that abundance in your life of $8,000 or more per month coming in on a steady basis, what would be a snapshot, an image in your mind that would mean to you that you've reached that level? You know, not just looking at your bank account or whatever. What would that image be? What would you be doing and thinking and feeling? That's the image you create, and that's the image you press upon. And you hold in your mind and your imagination and press upon the mind of God. Because with that image implies the abundance and the success and the health and the joy and the love. And it may take several images. And so what does that image mean? Because I remember Mary telling us a story one time. She had a client. And again, it's like everybody wants abundance. They want more, you know, flow in their life. And this man had just started a new business, and, you know, it was a similar situation. He needed a certain amount of income, and he wanted, you know, to be able to go on vacation with his family and enjoy life, you know, still working hard and still, you know, but enjoy life. And she said, all right, what would that picture be for you? And what came to his mind, and this is for him, it's not for me, it's certainly not for me, and it probably won't be for you. He saw himself sitting on a balcony overlooking a bay. I don't remember the body of water, but he was on vacation. He was clearly away on a beach resort somewhere, sitting on a balcony overlooking this beautiful scenery with a glass of scotch and a cigar. Now, for some reason, that for him, that in his mind, that was that image, that he made it, that he was living that life. And he had his family was in the apartment behind him and in the room, and he was, you know, that was the image that implied to him in his mind, using his imagination, that was implied that he achieved that. And so that's what we need to do, is create those images. And like I said, it may not be one specific image. It may be three or four or more images. It may be a short film that we see in our minds, a short movie that we see in our minds. You know, It may be you traveling more freely in a brand new truck and doing track work and being able to travel. It may be whatever, you know, you setting up churches and growing churches and planting churches. I don't know. What does that mean for you? What is that image for you? That's the image we press upon the infinite mind, and we hold that. We use our will. We have another mental faculty, just like imagination. We have our will, not willpower, but our will. Our will is our focus. It's our ability to hold that image in our minds and the screens of our minds with ease, without strain. And we hold it with all its specifics. And we do that work every single day. And am I perfect with it? No. Do I drop the ball? I drop the ball every single day. This is a reminder to myself too that I need to do this work more often.
Yeah, I find I have a hard time getting past the image of just having a healthy bank account. That's about as far as my image goes. I realize that now that's what. Each day I get that far, and I think, well, now I've made it. But it's much more.
It's
this is interesting. I don't have to. But yeah, somehow do I get? How can I get past that one now?
Right. So here's the thing. That we think, oh, we want more money. That's the focus. We want more money. It's not the money that we want. It's like, okay, if we want to put up a hang a picture in our home, and we have to make a hole in the wall. But we don't have the tools to do that, right? So we go to the hardware store to buy a drill. Well, we don't want a drill. We want a hole. The drill is just the means of getting that hole, but our ultimate goal is a hole, right, to put a hole through the wall. That's our goal. And so money is just a means. It's an energy system. It's a way of you know, it's a circulation. It's an energy. It's we don't want money for the sake of money. We want money or abundance to do stuff, to be stuff, to help people. That's what the money is for. The money sitting in a bank account doesn't mean anything. Money is neutral. Money is not good or evil. So a lot of people get that Bible passage mixed up. They said, oh, money is the root of all evil. It's not. That's not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of a false idol. Money in itself is neutral. Just like a number two pencil is neutral. We could write our dreams with it, or we could stab somebody with it. But the pencil itself is neutral. Money is neutral. It's what we do with it. It's an energy. So just like electricity is neutral. We can light our house. We can heat our homes. We can, you know, plug in a refrigerator and keep our food cold. Or we can shock somebody or shock ourselves. Or create a fire or create a spark. Electricity is neutral. It's what we do with it. And so by just focusing on the bank account, that's just a number. It's just a neutral thing. What do you do with it? What does it allow you, the freedom, allow you to do with that? Because implied in that, so let's say for me, we have a dream house in mind. We see this dream house that has certain features and certain characteristics, and it looks a certain way. So I walk through that house in my mind. I imagine myself walking through that house, sitting at the kitchen, at the island, sitting in the living room, having my office, going through the bedrooms, going through the bathrooms, seeing that, picturing that. Because having that house, living in that house, implies the success that I have in my life. It implies that my income is at a certain level. If I have that house, if that house is manifest in my life, that means that my income level is at a certain level. my success in my coaching business, my Enagic business, is at a certain level, that I'm reaching people and I'm helping more people at a certain level. That's what that image implies. I'm not focusing on a number. I'm not just focusing on my checkbook or the savings or a portfolio or whatever, investments. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, thank you.
What we do with it.
So, very good. Yeah.
So I encourage you to really use your imagination and to go back to your vision, because I know there's stuff in your vision that implies that you living those images and that vision, being that person, putting that vision on, it implies that your income is at that level. And at that point, it really doesn't matter where that income comes from. Obviously, it's not from illegal sources, but because you're vibrating at that frequency. Could it be 100% from your energy basis? Of course it could be. But could it be from other sources? Could it be from maybe you wrote a book? Or maybe you created a product that you're also selling? Maybe it's from another side business that came along that you didn't even think of and the opportunity came along. What if it were easy? So why do we limit God? Why do we say, if I'm going to drive from Arizona to New Jersey and I have to follow this route? That's our thinking. That's not God's thinking. Because God knows, oh, there was just a flood and part of that road was washed out, and you're going to have a detour. You're going to have to take a different route. Because you can't, that route doesn't exist anymore. You think it does, but it doesn't exist anymore because there was a flood and the road was, or there was an accident, or you need to stop at Costco right now and you need to not just buy gas, you need to go inside. You can be on track work and driving to a certain town. And the Lord says, wait a minute, make a left turn here. And you're like, but I need to go right. And the Lord's saying, no, make a left turn here. And who knows, maybe there's somebody somewhere, you stop at a place, and there's somebody that is waiting for your word. But we just be obedient. So we hold the images of what we would love. And we hold that vibration. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I really appreciate that.
So now go do it. Go practice it. It's exciting,
yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so let me just look here. Copy. So next week, we go back to our Tuesday.
I think so, as far as I know.
Okay, good. All right, so next week, same time on Tuesday the 22nd, and we'll go into the next lesson. So keep up the good work. You're doing really well. I'm so happy. I'm so happy with this work. And keep doing the work and stay obedient, because that's what you've been doing, and it's been very, very powerful.
Thank you, thank you. It's like Mary was saying, life is getting more interesting, more exciting.
Exactly, and that's the way life is supposed to be. It's not determined by our age and our circumstances and where we come from. We make it what it is, right? So it's good. All right, my friend. Enjoy your week. I'm here if you need me. Text me, call me, whatever. All right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All righty.
All right. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
bye.
Bye.